Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
The second time will be worse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. I feel like a broken record when it comes to the subprime crisis. Every day, more fallout. This dead-burn catastrophe has become so widely damaging, it's not even funny. This morning, the New York Times reports Merrill Lynch will write down $15 billion in bad mortgage investments. That's on top of the $8-plus billion the firm's already marked down. Well, the story on Merrill Lynch stung Asian stock markets overnight. Japan's Nikkei fell nearly 2%. Markets in Europe are a little changed at this hour. Yesterday on Wall Street, stocks got a bounce from Fed Chair Bernanke. He suggested substantive cuts in interest rates may be on the way. The upbeat mood was enhanced a bit by reports that Bank of America is near a deal to buy Countrywide Financial. The Dow jumped 117 to 12,853. The S&P was higher by 11. The NASDAQ rose nearly 14 points. Now, the Fed may be hinting about lower rates, but as Megan Williams reports, the European Central Bank seems headed in the opposite direction.
Keep wages down if you don't want an interest rate hike. That was the message from the head of the European Central Bank, who warned countries like Germany that higher wages will lead to more inflation. And the ECB says it won't hesitate to raise rates. The comments show that the European Bank is more concerned with an inflation rate of over 3% than slack growth, the exact opposite of the U.S. Federal Reserve, which will likely lower interest rates. But analysts aren't convinced. Capital Markets VP Rainer Gunterman predicts Europe will fall in line with the U.S. policy.
We think also European economic growth is about to slow down this year. And if you think that the next move by the ECB will be a rate cut, although this is an issue for very late in the year.
The ECB, in the meantime, will inject $20 billion into credit markets, the latest response to the subprime crisis. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Human trafficking happens all over the world. In the U.S., the Justice Department estimates that at least 17,000 people are brought here each year and forced to work as slaves. Other groups say the number is higher. Today is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. More from Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio.
Human trafficking is the modern-day equivalent of the slave trade, and it's the fastest-growing criminal industry in the world. The United Nations estimates that the trade's worth some $32 billion in both sales of people and the value of their exploited labor. Jolene Smith is executive director of Free the Slaves.
Our research shows that there are at least 27 million people in slavery around the world today, and that's real slavery, people held against their will, under violence or threat of violence, and paid nothing.
Most slaves brought to the U.S. end up as laborers, prostitutes, or domestic servants. Organizers want this day of awareness to highlight the signs of slavery. If a person seems unable to leave their place of employment or shows signs of physical abuse, it should be reported. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with more than 70 national patient organizations to educate and support patients and their families. Online at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
We're 10 weeks into the strike by film and TV writers. It's brought Hollywood to a virtual standstill. Well, time to create a workaround. Harvey Weinstein's independent film company has got an interim agreement with the Writers Guild. He'll be able to restart production on new movies. That deal will be announced this morning. The Golden Globes are scheduled for broadcast this Sunday night. We're getting a whittled-down version, thanks to the writer's strike. No glitz, just a press conference. Let's bring in Mike Speier, executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike, what's the story on this?
Well, the day that they decided to pare it down to a press conference, they still were having hopes that they would have a whole night of events. They'd have a press conference. They'd have Dateline NBC doing interviews. They'd have Access Hollywood with the parties. So they still thought that maybe there was hope that they'd still get 3 or 4 hours of entertainment stuff. But in the end, parties got canceled, and it became a news event, and it was 1 hour, and that was it.
So this is about not only the writers, but the actors potentially, too, boycotting the event, right?
I'll say that that's even the bigger deal, is that the actor's not going. Because SAG, which is the actors' union, is the friend of the writers. They're in the creative community, and SAG said, we're not going to go. We're not going to send our stars there. So that's why they canceled the party.
Does this give us any kind of indication that there could be trouble for the Oscars?
Absolutely. The Oscars won't admit that, but certainly there's got to be behind-the-scenes contingency plans, because why are they any different? They're an award show. They're not getting a waiver from the WGA, which means they're not going to have writers writing for them, at least for now. They haven't made that decision. And if SAG still supports the writers, then why would the actors show up there?
How much damage has it done to the industry from where you sit?
Just on the Globes alone, the estimates for the income in Los Angeles and for the revenue is up to $80 million between everyone from security and freelance hairdressers, people flying in and out of Los Angeles, where they stay, car companies. So right away, that's a tangible effect.
So how does the industry now view what the writers have done?
I think it depends on where you are on the fence. If you're a creative person and you support them, you probably lean towards, look, when you fight, strikes aren't good for anyone, but this is what happens. This is the collateral damage. I kind of think that it's collateral damage that might not have had to have happened. They could have allowed the award show to go on and still fought for what they believed in, because it is for the average person. And the average person doesn't really care about the strike. They just want to see their show and George Clooney walking on the red carpet.
How do the studios and the producers respond to all of this?
The major studios right now are such conglomerates. They have so many other avenues to make money, and really it's just about the stock price. And I got to say, if the stock price is not affected by anything, and TV still goes on with reality shows, and the movie business is still in production on certain things, then I don't think they're rushing that quickly to get back to the table. When you see stock prices drop, when you see money being lost, that and shareholders being angry, I think that's when you're going to start seeing some movement.
Mike Speier is executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.